على محمد وآل محمد. سورة الأعراف آية نمبر 169 and 170 in page 172 and 173. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين وعلى الصفوة الخيرة من أصحابه الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فخلف من بعدهم خلف ورثوا الكتاب يأخذون عرض هذا الأدنى ويقولون سيغفر لنا وإن يأتهم عرض مثله يأخذوه. ألم يؤخذ عليهم ميثاق الكتاب أن لا يقولوا على الله إلا الحق ودرسوا ما فيه، والدار الآخرة خير للذين يتقون أفلا تعقلون. والذين يمسكون بالكتاب وأقاموا الصلاة إنا لا نضيع أجر المصلحين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. The previous ayat in Surah Al-A'raf that we discussed in many weeks in the past spoke about the predecessors of Bani Israel, the Israelites, the Salaf. Salaf is the predecessors. This one, 169 and 170, that one spoke about the ancestors or the predecessors. This one speaks about the generation that was during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning their children and grandchildren and great grandchildren. So there are two generations here. Previously we spoke about the ancestors, the fathers, the grandfathers. Now the Quran speaks about the contemporary generation. Contemporary not to our time now, to 1400 years ago, the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The Jews who lived in Medina and around Medina during the time of the Prophet. And of course there were Jews elsewhere too, not just in Medina or the Arabian Peninsula. There were Jews in Yemen and other parts. The Quran says, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. The earlier generation was succeeded. فَخَلَفَ. They were succeeded by a good generation or bad generation. What do you think? By bad generation. خَلْفٌ. Pay attention to Arabic grammar here. We have خلف and we have خلف. When we say خلف, there is سكون on the لام. لام is in the middle. خا لام فا. لام is in the middle. When you put سكون, this is the way you read it. خلف. This means bad generation. But when you put فتحة on the لام, which is in the middle, Fatha. The way we read it, Khalaf, not Khalf. The first one was Khalf, bad people. Khalaf is good people. So Allah says the earlier generation was succeeded, not unfortunately by good generation, but by bad generation. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. Why they were bad? See, the Quran does not have any prejudice. Listen to the reason why the Quran characterizes them as bad generation. He said, those generation who came, who succeeded their forefathers and ancestors, خَلْفٌ وَرِثُ الْكِتَابِ. They inherited the Torah from their ancestors. They passed the ancestors, their grandfathers, they passed the Torah to the young generation. But they did not respect the Torah. Although they inherited the Torah, وَرِثُ الْكِتَابِ. And the Torah is full of wisdom. Torah is full of wisdom, full of guidance. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا التَّوْرَاةَ فِيهَا نُورٌ وَهُدَى. Allah says, there is light. Light that you use it against darkness. You can see your way, your path, your direction when you have light. Allah says, Torah is full of guidance and light and happiness. But rather than they utilize the Torah, they practice it in their daily life, they were inclined toward the lower life, the vanities of this lower life. يَأْخُذُونَ عَرَضَ هَذَا الْأَدْنَى. They did not choose to practice the Torah that they had. And the Torah provides them with all sorts of solutions. When it comes to family matters, the Torah has a solution. When it comes to marriage, when it comes to divorce, when it comes to business, when it comes to raising children, when it comes to your neighbors, others, your enemies, there are instructions in the Torah. They did not implement it. They were attached to this lower life. يَأْخُذُونَ عَرَضَ هَذَا الْأَدْنَى. They chose for themselves the vanities. Arav is the vanity. And again, if you are interested in Arabic literature and Arabic grammar, we have arav and we have arv. Exactly like khalf and khalaf. Imagine in Arabic literature, Arabic grammar, there is nothing like Arabic grammar in the world, believe me. Very sensitive. With one movement, one, not letter, I would not say letter, fatha or dhamma or kasra, you change the whole meaning. The whole meaning. The whole meaning is changed. This is why sometimes here, some people ask us to read dua during Ramadan, I tell them, no, thank you. Because rather than you speak to God and practice tawheed, you're going to practice shirk and kufr by changing the meaning. So you have to really practice it. You have to be a master of language in Arabic in order for you to read the Quran correctly, the hadith correctly, the dua correctly. Requires a lot of effort. But of course it would be easy. When you spend 3-4 years, intensive courses, then you will master it and you will enjoy the reading. So we said earlier, khalf means what? Good generation or bad generation? Bad. And khalaf, good generation. What does arz and arav mean? There is difference between them. Linguistics in the Arabic literature, they say arav or arz. When you have sukoon on the ra, arz also has three letters. Ain, ra, dha. So ra is in the middle. Ra, re. Ra is in the middle. You put sukoon on it. Arz. What does ard mean? Ard means when you have cash money. Cash money in the Arabic Quranic language is called ard. What does arad mean when you have fatha over the ra? Not sukoon, fatha, arad. What does arad mean? Huh? Arad means something passing, fleeting. It does not stay. When something just comes and passes, like the rain last night, only 3 or 4 hours, alhamdulillah. But inshallah, more rain is coming. Something that passes does not stay. You cannot invest on it. You cannot capitalize on it. It's a guest. A guest that comes and goes. This is arad.
This is the difference.
Allah says, Bani Israel, rather than capitalizing on their book, which is the Torah, which is full of wisdom and happiness and guidance, they were attached to the vanities of the dunya. Arad al-hayat al-dunya. Things that would not remain for them. They cannot do investment on them. Dunya. Everything in this dunya is arad. Everything. Everything, including your family. Your family would not stay for you one day. You're going to be separated from your family, separated from your friends, separated from your assets, separated from your estate, your wealth, your capital, your investment, your business, your saving. It's not going to stay for you. You use it today, tomorrow, you have no access to it. You have no access. So this is called arad, because it is a fleeting and passing. It would not stay there. Allah is criticizing them and He's saying they are khalf, not khalaf, khalf, bad generation, because we presented them with good solution, good book, rather than investing on that book and the teachings and the guidance of that book. They threw the book behind their back and they clinged to this life, to the vanities of this. Adna. What Adna means? Adna in the Quran means the closer. This is the closer life. Adna. Lower. Lower or closer. Because we have another life which is higher, much higher. And that is Akhirah. That is the hereafter. So Quran has eloquence. He does not say dunya. He says adna. Adna means lower life. Passing life. Temporary life. يأخذون عرض هذا الأدنى ويقولون عرض, for those who are interested in Arabic, الشيء الذي لا ثبات له ولا دوام. بزبان عرب مسئله عرض میگن که چیزی که دوام ندارد ثابتم نیست از بین میرود. به این بزبان عربی میگن عرض. Does not stay. It's not fixed, it's not fixed, and it would not stay. It's temporary. عَرَضَ هَذَا الْأَدْنَى. Okay? And then, while they were practicing evil, they said, never mind, I know I'm practicing evil, I know I'm doing bad, but God is merciful. God would forgive me. Quran says, this is terrible. You think God is sitting there and doing nothing and waiting just for you after committing many crimes in the midst of your corruption, insisting on your corruption, not giving up your corruption. You tell him, forgive me, and he says, yes, granted, I will forgive you. No, this is not God. God is not crazy. God is wise, Hakim. God is Hakim. You cannot kid with him. You cannot fool him. Now, let me ask you, is this concept of committing sin after sin and not giving up on sins and asking God for forgiveness, would that only apply to Bani Israel or some Muslims too? Huh? Some Muslims too. Some Muslims too. Some Christians too. They practice crime, violations, sins, dhanb, gunah, and he's not stopping that. While he's in the day, during the day he steals, during the night he says, God forgive me. And then the following morning, he goes back to business, same business. He steals, he's corrupt, he commits fraud, and then in the evening he comes and he says, oh God forgive me. Some Muslims, they wait for a Friday prayers. They think that if they steal the whole 7 days, but they go half an hour for the Friday prayers, all the sins are forgiven. The Christians, they think if they go to church on Sunday morning and confess to the priest or whatever, all their crimes are forgiven. They go back to business. Allah says that does not work. You are fooling yourself. You don't fool your Lord. Yes, Allah will forgive if forgiveness is sincere. Tawbatan nasuh. And the first step of tawbatan nasuh, the sincere repentance, is when you decide to give up. I am not going back to this action, to this crime, to this violation anymore. You don't. But inside your heart, in the back of your mind, while you are saying, oh God, forgive me, and the opportunity comes again to commit a sin and you don't mind, you would welcome it, then this is not tawbatan nasuh. This is not sincere repentance. يَأْخُذُونَ عَرَضَ هَذَا الْأَدْنَى وَيَقُولُونَ سَيُخْفَرُ لَنَا. And they say for excuse when they commit sins, it will be forgiven. God will forgive us. سَيُخْفَرُ لَنَا. And even so, وَإِنْ يَأْتِهِمْ عَرَضٌ مِثْلُهُ يَأْخُذُهُ. If similar sins and vanities, they come their way in the future, they would again seize them and commit them. They would not stop. They forgot that last night. They said, oh God, forgive me. They forgot about it. And we have such people. We have some Muslims, Christians, Jews, and others who come, who recite dua and Quran and istighfar, but then whenever the first opportunity of sinning arises, they will commit it immediately. They would not put it on hold. What does that tell you? Does it tell you that their tawbah was sincere? Their tawbah was an honest tawbah, or it was not? Definitely it was not honest. Because the tawbah which is sincere, it means it's over. I'm not doing that anymore. I made a pledge. Tawbah means you make a pledge and covenant, aqd and ahd, with your Lord that what I did was the last time. I'm not going to repeat that. No matter what happens, no matter how much it's alluring and tempting, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give in to temptations. That was my last time. In that case, Allah will accept the tawbah immediately. Allah will accept it. Allah will endorse it. And Allah will drop all the charges against you. But if the tawbah is not sincere, you wasted your time. Believe me. You wasted your time. Not to do tawbah is better. If you are not sincere, the tawbah is not, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, the tawbah, repentance, is not with the mouth, it's with the heart. Here. It has to come here from the heart. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the first condition for tawbah is you feel the pain of what you did. The crime you committed, the violations, the sin, you really feel the pain. You feel sorry for it. You feel the remorse. You feel sorry for it. And you realize you damaged yourself. You damaged your soul. You damaged your relationship with people and with God. So you feel sorry about it. If you don't feel sorry about it, if your heart is not broken, this is an indication that your tawbah, repentance, is bogus. Is not genuine. Therefore Allah has no prejudice against the Israelites. He created them. He created them. Quran is not anti-Semitic. Islam is not anti-Semitic. Allah is saying that those people, some of them did good, some of them did bad, and this is the reason why they did bad. And this is a lesson why they are mentioned, why the stories of the Israelites are mentioned in this book, in the Quran. It's a lesson for us, reminder, that you Muslims are doing the same. You're going to go through the same circumstances, same problems. So wake up, learn. Learn from Bani Israel. وَرِثُ الْكِتَابَ يَأْخُذُونَ عَرَضَ هَذَا الْأَدْنَى. They incline to the vanities of this world. وَيَقُولُونَ. And then they practice sin and they say, سَيُخْفَرُ لَنَا. God will forgive us. وَإِنْ يَأْتِهِمْ عَرَضٌ مِثْلُهُ. After seeking God for forgiveness, if another opportunity comes to commit a sin, they would not hesitate to commit it again. وَإِنْ يَأْتِهِمْ عَرَضٌ مِثْلُهُ يَأْخُذُوهُ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the following.
ألم يؤخذ عليهم ميثاق الكتاب. Was not the covenant of the book. What kitab here?
Torah.
Because we have to read. Sometimes kitab means Quran. But in this context, it means what? Torah. أَلَمْ يُؤْخَذْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِيثَاقُ الْكِتَابِ Was not the covenant of the book taken from them أَلَّا يَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ That they would not ascribe to God anything but the truth. So what do you understand from this verse? They made covenant with us earlier that they would not say anything about God but the truth. So what do you understand from this verse? Here, from this sentence. Did they say the truth or they didn't? Huh? They didn't say the truth. One of their problems, if you ask me, what did they do that Quran is criticizing them? They lied. They lied. Just like one of us, when he gives promise to his partner, to his wife, the wife gives a promise to his to her husband, I'm not going to do this mistake again. Forgive me. They decide to forgive each other, okay, to do good, and they are not going to repeat this mistake at all. But next week, sometimes next morning, following morning, back to business again. The husband is exactly doing his old mistakes. As if he did not give any promise to his wife, he forgets. And he tells her that, كَلَامُ اللَّيْلِ يَمْحُوهُ النَّهَارِ What I said to you in the evening is, you know, is erased by the sunrise. Because we have a new day. So what I told you, it was the business of the night, you know. And the same thing, she tells him the same. They decide that let's from now, let's begin a new life, new relationship. Let's respect each other. Don't cheat on each other. Don't lie on each other. Be honest. Be trustworthy. Be this, be that. Be helpful. Don't betray each other. But then after 1 week, they forget their promises. They forget their promises. Allah says, Bani Israel did exactly the same to me. I made a covenant with them, a contract. أَلَمْ يُؤْخَذْ عَلَيْهِمْ We made أَلَمْ يُؤْخَذْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِيثَاقٌ The covenant is ميثاق. When you make covenant with God, it's called ميثاق. That they don't say to me but the truth. But unfortunately, they did not care. They lied to me too. They lied to me, to God. أَلَّا يَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ That they would not ascribe to God anything but the truth. وَدَرَسُوا مَا فِيهِ Very interesting. Sometimes a person does something foolish out of ignorance. Do you blame him or not? If someone does something foolish, bad, wrong, mistake, out of ignorance, jahl, do you charge him or you don't charge him? Most likely you don't charge him because he's unaware. He didn't know this is haram, this is violation, this is bad. He didn't know. But when someone knows very, very, very well that this is bad, this is terrible, this is haram, this is not good, this is evil, this is dangerous, and he does it, would you blame him in this case or not? Definitely you're going to blame him. Allah says, Bani Israel, when they violated my rules, they did not do that out of ignorance, but they did that out of knowledge. Not just knowledge, darasu, means that they knew exactly what is found in their book in the Quran. They memorized it. Darasu comes from dars. Why do we call the dars, dars? In Arabic, class, when we say class, I have a class, we say I have dars. Okay? Why do we call the class where someone goes and learns, why we call it in Arabic dars? Do you know the reason?
There is a repetition.
Ahsant. Because the original meaning of dars
is not knowledge or a class. The original meaning is when you repeat something many times. So why do we call the class dars? Because the teacher keeps repeating the lesson times after times after times after times until the students, they understand it. This is why we say this is dars. Dars, a place where people, where the teacher, the professor, the educator, he repeats many times until the children understand. We call it dars. But dars originally does not mean lesson. Does not mean lesson or a class. It means repetition of something. Why do we use it in the class? Because in the class, the teacher, the teacher keeps repeating the concept so the students, they understand it very well. Allah says, Bani Israel, they almost memorized this book, the Torah. Not that they were ignorant about it. They were well aware of the content of the Torah. Well aware. Well aware of what is good and what is bad. What is halal, lawful, and what is haram, unlawful. But despite that, despite their knowledge, they violated. They violated. So in this case, would God excuse them here, in this case? Would He forgive them? He would not forgive them. God would forgive someone who's unaware, ignorant. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. But when someone He knows very well, He knows very well what He's doing. In that case, Allah says, I am going to hold you accountable to what you did. وَدَرَسُوا مَا فِيهِ. And then Allah comes to this conclusion, beautiful conclusion. وَالدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ. Allah wants to say that this is not only the problem of the Bani Israel. It will be the problem of the Muslims too. What we are saying about Bani Israel is not confined to them. You Muslims, you do the same. Exactly. The same violations. Out of awareness, out of knowledge of your book and your Quran, still you violate. Not because you are ignorant, you don't know what is in this book. You know what is in this book very well and you memorize it and you violate this book. So this is a common problem. Does not only apply to Bani Israel, to the Muslims too, to other communities too. Therefore, Allah comes to this conclusion. وَلَدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَالدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ. But the home in the hereafter. الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ. Friends, if you don't have homes here, don't worry. You're going to have a home. If you can't afford buying a house here, don't worry about the آخِرَةِ. You're going to have. But it depends what type of home is going to be, whether it is good or bad. For some people, that house is very good, beautiful, attractive, well-furnished, enjoyable. For others, not very much so. Allah says the real home, permanent home, is there. وَالدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَالدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ. خير. It is better for those who are pious, who fear their Lord, who don't sell their akhirah for the dunya, the cheap dunya. They don't do that. They don't trade the akhirah for this cheap dunya. They don't do that. خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Will you not understand أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ? It needs a little bit of reflection. Does not need a genius to discover this. The difference between dunya and akhirah. Doesn't need a genius. Because each and every one of us, we have relatives who lived in this life and they passed away, they died. Nobody stayed here. Look at your family now. How many dead persons you have in your family so far? Some of them were young. Not necessarily old. Some of them were very young. But they had to go. Nobody stays here. We are scheduled to leave, to depart. But these schedules are different. Some of us going to leave soon. Some of us 2 more years. Some of us 5 more years. Some of us 20 more years. But we have to leave. We are not staying here. وَالدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ.
And then let's go to 170 where we conclude. وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ. See here in 170, Quran is saying good things about Bani Israel. In 169, he was criticizing some of them. In 170, he's appraising and commending others, the righteous ones among them, the Salihin, the good ones among Bani Israel. So Quran is not a book of prejudice. Quran, when you do good, whether you are a Jew, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, anything, he says, Ahsant, well done. He praises you. But if you do bad, even if you are from the family of the Prophet, any Prophet, he will criticize you. Quran will point its finger at you and he says, you did bad. I don't care whether your father is this or that. I don't look at your father. I don't look at your family tree. I don't look at your blood. I look at what you did. You did wrong. So no one is immune from the criticism of the Quran. No one. Quran is not a book of, you know, anti-Semitic. He only points his fingers at the Jews. No, sometimes the Muslims. He says, the Muslims, you did bad. Surah Al-Munafiqun, they were Muslims. They were not Jews. Allah says they are hypocrites. وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ. Here is speaking the Quran in 170 about the good Jews. وَالَّذِينَ. And to those, the Jews, who hold fast by their book, the Torah. وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ. Hold fast, يُمَسِّكُونَ. Now let me tell you something. If I hold fast to this book, I'll do this. What does that mean? Does it mean I love it or I hate it? I love it. How much I love it if I hold the book like that to my heart? How much I love it? Huh? How much? A lot of love. Quran says, those who hold fast to their book, the Torah, meaning those who practice the Torah. And the Torah, if the Torah tells them this is good, they will practice it. If the Torah tells them this is bad, they would not practice it. They stay away. This is the meaning of yumassikun. They hold fast. Because have you seen, when you love something, you hold it fast. Huh? If you love your wife, you hold her fast. You break her bones, you know. Yeah. Be careful. Still, Obamacare is not functioning, so many people don't have insurance. Allah says some of those Bani Israel, they really hold fast to their book because they respect it, they cherish it, they practice it. يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ. Not yamsik. Yamsik in Arabic, yamsik is just holding it, just like that. But yumassik, when you hold fast, you don't let it go, you hold fast. It means you cherish it, you love it, you practice it, you believe in it, you respect it, you don't violate it. This is يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ. Allah says those, the Jews among them who really cherish the Torah and the guidance of the Torah, not only that, وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ, they practice the prayers too. Because we have now some Muslims in Orange County and LA County and Riverside County and Ventura County and San Bernardino County. They say we love the Quran, but we don't pray. Yes, we respect the Quran, the book of God, but I have no time for a prayer because the love of God is in my heart. So whether I pray or I don't pray, doesn't make any difference. Allah says you are wrong. If you love me, show me with commitment. Show me with commitment that you pray to me. Because the prayers, I don't need it, you need it. You need it to flourish, to prosper, to grow. To grow mentally and spiritually. You need the prayers. God does not need our prayers. Whether I pray 500 times here or I don't, He would not benefit anything from me. He would not benefit. I benefit. I need the prayers. Prayers is nourishment for me. Nourishment. Have you seen when you eat breakfast, lunch, dinner? This is physical nourishment for your stomach, for your body. You need it. You need it to grow. You need it to sustain yourself, to be able to function, to work.
Salat is exactly the same. Nourishment for the ruh here. You have something called ruh. We don't pay attention to it. This is why many people, they are depressed because they don't pay attention to their soul, to their ruh. They only think of their shikam. Shikam is important. The stomach. But the ruh, they don't care about it. This is why they are depressed. Depressed. And nothing can make them happy. If you take Allah out of your heart, nothing in this life can bring you happiness. No money, no family, no entertainment, no weddings, no trips, no vacations, no friends, no parties, no dancing, no alcohol. No Las Vegas. Nothing can bring you happiness. Because you took the source, real source of happiness out of your heart. You threw it. You tossed it away. It's impossible. I don't tell you this. People who are going to go to the Oscar on Sunday, they tell you the same. Celebrities. They tell you the same. They tell you the same. They have money. They are celebrities. They have fame. You know. They have everything in this life. But when God is not in their heart, they get disappointed. So you see divorce after divorce, separation after separation, breakdown after breakdown. Because they don't have the source of happiness in their heart, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't have it. So they cannot find, they cannot taste happiness and stability and peace in their life. So Allah says, you must sukoon, hold fast to the book and practice the prayers. Because inna salata وَأَقِمْ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Because you need connection with me. You cannot disconnect with me. Yesterday I had a friend who told me that my entire life depends on this iPhone. If one day they take it away from me, I can't live. Which is true for businesses, for family affairs, for sometimes playing games, listening to music, you know. Our iPhone with God is Salat. Is Salat. If they take it out of our life, we cannot function. We are not going to enjoy life. We are not going to enjoy peace and stability. وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ. Allah says at the end, إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُصْلِحِينَ. Never shall we suffer or neglect the reward of the righteous. Never. See, my friends, there are some people who are kareem, generous. If you give them this bottle, they give you, in return, they give you 10 ones. If you give them $100, one day they give you $2,000. They don't waste your effort, your gift. They are more generous than you. I've seen those people in my life. I try to give him something, when he comes back, he brings me 10 times more, 10 times more. He's a human being and he's generous. Now imagine Allah, the source of generosity, the creator of generosity, the one who created those generous. You think he will overlook what you did, the good things? He will ignore? He will not see? He will be ghafil? He doesn't see what you do? Allah says no. Inna la nudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin. When someone, a righteous, does anything, even if it is very small, we see it, we appreciate it, we thank him, and we give him many more. Inshallah, Thursday, March 6th, which is coming Thursday, we have the celebration of lady, which lady? Zainab ibnatu Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayha salatu wassalam. So, inshallah, the program begins at 6:20 with Dua Kumail, Salat at 7. And we have the children's performance. They would recite surud, nasheed, inshallah. And then we have another sister who is going to present 15 minutes before me about, and my speech is going to be about empowering Muslim women in our societies. We need to empower Muslim women to be able to fulfill, inshallah, our goals in this life. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ يَا اللَّهُ مُنَّ عَلَى مَرْضَانَا بِالشِّفَاءِ وَالْعَافِيَةِ الْمَرْضَى الْمَنْظُورِينَ اللهم ألبسهم ثوب الصحة والعافية وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.